The Magpul Bipod, realistic factory group sizes, and the 224 Valkyrie, this week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and this Monday, our first question comes from Nathan on Patreon. If you guys want to know more about Patreon and how you can support the videos that you guys have grown to know and love, please check out the link down below. And Nathan asks, your thoughts on the new Magpul Bipod. Would it be considered a budget option for competition? Well, Nathan, I did get a chance to shoot the new Magpul Bipod when I was out at TriggerCon. There were a couple of the demonstrators that had Magpul Bipods on their rifles, and I came away with kind of a middle-of-the-road impression. Now, it is a first impression. I didn't actually have a lot of time to monkey around with all the adjustments and set up the bipod just the way I wanted and check it with the legs kicked in different directions. But the bipod felt a little bit loose to me, so I'm going to have to actually get one in, get it on a rifle, and shoot it a little bit more. When you ask about if it's a good budget option, the retail on them is $110 right now, and $110 for a bipod I don't really consider a budget option. I think if you're looking at something like the Caldwell version of the Harris BRMS, I think that is what I consider a budget long-range precision bipod. When we start to get up into the $100 plus range, that's really mid to higher end. Now, that's not, for instance, like an Atlas Cal or an Atlas PRS, where you're talking several hundred dollars for one. So I would consider the $110 price point kind of middle of the road for bipods. And because it's middle of the road, I'm not going to give that bipod a whole lot of slack when I start evaluating it compared to some of the less expensive polymer bipods that are out there right now. So I will really be anxious to get one in, put it on a gun, beat it up, shoot it on some heavier stuff like 300 Win Mags, shoot it on some lighter stuff, some gas guns where we really need to appropriately load that bipod for recoil control and return sight picture. So it will take some time actually working with it to determine it. Now, I have talked to some guys that have used the Magpul bipods quite extensively on some hunts and in some pretty rugged terrain, and they had really good things to say about it. So it's my opinion is still pretty open right now. I wouldn't say don't buy one. I would just say, you know, be aware there's not a ton of information out, and we're going to have to beat it up to see how it compares against the low end and how it compares against premium bipods like the B&T Industries Atlas. And our next question comes from Ted on Facebook, and Ted asks, what are realistic group sizes for factory rifles and precision rifles? Guys post 3/8 inch groups. Is this normal, everyday, repeatable performance? Or best groups of the week when they normally shoot 1 inch? What's the expected rifle slash shooter accuracy needed for precision rifle shooting? Well, Ted, the acceptable groups or acceptable precision for a factory rifle is really going to vary greatly depending upon the price level of that rifle, the price point of the rifle. For instance, on the upper end, we have rifles like Accuracy International, Sako TRGs, that kind of stuff, Barrett rifles. Those are all still considered factory rifles. They are production rifles. They are not custom rifles. And those rifles shoot really, really well. They shoot on par with a lot of custom rifles. So realistic accuracy rifle or accuracy on those rifles, 3/8 inch for repeatable group sizes, is not out of the realm of possibility, depending, of course, upon the caliber and depending on the ammunition and all that stuff. But with high-end ammunition, say, for instance, precision hand loads, that really isn't out of the ordinary. And for high-end factory ammunition, that would be a reasonable expectation. Now, when we start talking about lower to mid-tier factory rifles, say a factory Remington 700, you may get a factory Remington 700 in, say, 308 that will struggle to maintain 3/4 inch groups at 100 yards. And this is for a five-shot group and repeated strings of five-shot groups, not just that one cherry-picked group. So it really depends upon the price point. If we look at a rifle like the one we have in front of us here, this is the Savage MSR-10 in 6.5 Creedmoor. This rifle seemed to be holding sub-half-inch groups when we were out shooting it with Federal Gold Medal Match 140-grain Sierra loads. So it was shooting very, very well, and this is a factory trigger. Now, the factory trigger in it is fairly good, but it is not what I would consider a precision rifle trigger. So if we upgraded the trigger in this to something better, say a Geissele or a Trigger Tech, then we are going to get... I'm not going to say we're going to get better performance because the trigger doesn't actually affect the accuracy. It will make it easier for the shooter to consistently get that peak performance out of the barrel, the bolt, and the ammunition. So it's really all over the board. Now, on your second portion of the question, is it repeatable performance or is it just best groups of the week? Very often, if you see a guy posting it online, and I'm guilty of it as well from time to time. If you see a guy posting it online, that is probably the best group, not the worst group. When we post group sizes, we try to post representative groups, not just best groups, and obviously not worst groups because I have bad days just like everyone else does. I'll try to occasionally throw in a group that shows that what the low end of the rifle's performance is. But if I just totally goof one up, it doesn't do the equipment any justice for me to post a group that I obviously did not have my head in the game when I shot it. Yes, if you're looking at online groups, if you're showing guys or seeing guys that are posting about their favorite gun or their pet or something that they put a lot of money and time into, they are probably going to show it in the best light possible, which means they are going to post cherry-picked groups or the infamous four shots through one hole and then one flyer. That's something to keep in mind when you see factory accuracy claims. And our next question comes from Matt, and Matt asks, the role of 224 Valkyrie is designed to play. Would it be performed better by an AR-10 upper chambered in, say, 22-250 or 243? I understand that 224 is meant for the smaller scale AR-15 style receiver and use common parts between them. Also, would a 224 be better in an AR-10 length receiver to use the extra long heavy rounds it appears to need to work as well as the ads made out? Well, Matt, it's a really interesting question that you ask. And the thing is, when I pictured 224 Valkyrie, when it was announced, when it came out, I always pictured it as a gas gun round, as a round that allows you to run a lighter, smaller AR platform, the standard AR-15 envelope, and have a higher performance round in that envelope. That kind of seems to be where the niche is. Now, we've got guys that are building out bolt guns for 224 Valkyrie, and I think when you start to move away from the AR-15 platform, then there's not really a reason for the 224 Valkyrie. When you get away from that platform, when you start opening up the space available for the cartridge, now you can run into better cartridges for long-range performance without pushing the edges of pressure and all this other nonsense. So if you're going to go with an AR-10, there's really not any reason to run 224 Valkyrie. Run 6 Creedmoor or 6 Dasher or one of the other ones where you have a very large selection of high ballistic coefficient bullets to run in them. When you start talking about something like a 22-250 and a semi-automatic gun, you better have a really easy way to swap out barrels, because I think the rate of fire that you're capable of in a semi-automatic rifle with something like a 22-250 running at a high performance level, not downloaded, I think you're going to run into smoking out barrels fairly quickly. Now, I haven't specifically looked into the mechanics of trying to chamber an AR in 22-250, so I don't know what kind of overall length restrictions you're going to run into. I'm fairly certain it can be done. We're running semi-automatic 300 Win Mags now, so 22-250 should not be a problem if a guy wanted to do it. But I think then you're running into questionable returns, because you would run a larger rifle system overall, heavier weight rifle, and that is really exactly the opposite of what the 224 Valkyrie was trying to achieve. So maxing out the performance of the AR-15 platform is really what these cartridges like the 6.5 Grendel and the 224 Valkyrie are trying to do. If you are not limited to the AR platform, I think you're better off to look at other cartridges to maximize the performance. So that's really just my off-the-cuff opinion on it. We have not gotten into a lot of 224 Valkyrie stuff. I do have a rifle here that I'm considering converting over. We're also considering actually just building up a 224 Valkyrie from the floor up, specifically as a competition rifle, to see how well we can set up that system to max out that cartridge. But that's a little bit down the road. It's just in the idea phase right now. We haven't even spoken with any of the companies to start to try to make parts happen for that kind of setup. But if that's something you guys would like to see, drop a comment down below and let me know if you're interested in that kind of project. And it may be something that we work on a little bit down the way. We have to wrap up the ultimatum deadline action first, and then we can get into some other projects. So that is my opinion on the 224 Valkyrie, Matt, and I hope that answers some of your questions. That is it for the questions for this Mail Call Mondays. We're keeping it short so we can get it out quickly. If you guys have any questions or comments on anything we've discussed, please leave them down in the comment section down below. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast app, you can send questions to us at 8541tactical@gmail.com. If you like the video, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And until next time, get out and shoot.